here. What we do at RUF, part of what we do in addition to singing and praying and being together, is we hear from the Bible, and we believe that God is speaking to us in it. And we're going to be looking in the Gospel of John, chapter 9 tonight. It's on the screen as well. Now, if I asked you to do something that was really, really brave, which is stand up right now, which I'm not going to, by the way. Stand up right now and find someone you don't know and tell them about yourself. Tell them who you are. I wonder, like, what the things are that you would tell them. Like, if you just had to meet someone, they said, who are you? That's what I like to ask people when I meet them. Who are you? What are you about? Because then they can't say, like, their hometown. But what are the things that you would want to say when you first met someone to tell them who you really are? This semester, we are exploring together in RUF who Jesus is. And the way that Jesus answers that question, if you imagine if we met Jesus and said, who are you? What are you about? Are these statements in the Gospel of John where he says, I am. And then you say, I am the bread of life. That's what we looked at last week. And this week we're looking at that. Jesus says that I am the light of the world. These are the ways in which he makes himself known to us and tells us who he is and what he is about. And that's what we're exploring this semester. So I want to take a moment to pray, and then we're going to read these passages. I want to invite you to close your eyes and allow yourself to settle into yourself. Father, Son, Spirit, we come to you with ourselves, because that's what we have to come to you with. I thank you for these sisters and brothers who have gathered here tonight and have a lot of other places that they could be. But Lord, each of us comes here tonight to hear news that is good, to receive hope. Lord, I know that there are many stories in this room and many opinions about you. Actually, as many of us as there are in the room, there are that many stories when it comes to you. Some of us are convinced of who you are or want to be. Some of us feel very comfortable in a space like this. Some of us are not convinced or are exploring and maybe feel awkward in a space like this. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be here with us, that you would give us something good from your word. And more than that, that you would come and give us a sense of your presence with us, that we would see you, that we would feel your closeness, and that we would experience your love. Lord, I don't know if you will do all those things, but I ask you to, Lord, because we need you. We pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Okay, so I know you just had your eyes closed, but I'm gonna ask you to close them again for just a second. Don't look around, just close your eyes. And I want you to imagine the room that we're in. Okay? Imagine in your mind where the things are in the room, who the people are that are around you. And if you had to get up and I said, okay, go to the table with the delicious donuts on it, what it would be like to make your way over there. If I said, go to the door or go find Slayton, what it would be like for you to find your way in this room. And imagine that. Okay, you can open your eyes. When we are walking around and we can't see, the lights are turned out, or our eyes are closed, or we lose our vision, our brain automatically tries to make sense of the space and put together the things in the room as we remember them or as we sense them otherwise. But what happens, like if I asked you to get up and find Slayton, especially if you're in the front, it would have been very difficult. Because there's no way for you to see all the people that would be in your way. There's no way that without opening your eyes, you would be able to make your way there. You would need, you know, you would stumble by necessity. You would feel fearful of, like, what if you stepped on somebody, especially that cute person that you saw when you came in and then just ruined everything right then. You would move without confidence. And this walking around in darkness, the Bible says this is what it's like for us to live life, is that we walk through the world and through our lives without really being able to see. And we're constantly trying to put the pieces together in our minds and make sense of where we're going, even though we walk in the dark. That darkness, of course, you know, probably most of us can see in this room, are sighted. That darkness isn't necessarily a physical one, but it's a darkness that comes from a lot of places. There's a darkness that is within us, I think, often that we feel. When we allow ourselves to feel it, we know that there are dark places in us that are confusing, that we don't understand. There's darkness in our stories, the stories of our family, that makes it confusing. How do I relate with these people? How do I relate to the people who have done things to me or I've done things to them? It's confusing, and we are insecure and fearful as we move through our lives. Of course, the future is dark to us. We have a sense of where we want to go. We don't necessarily know how to get there or what it's going to look like when we do get there. And other people are very dark to us. What are they thinking? what are they imagining? What's going on inside them? There's a lot of darkness within us and around us that we move through in our world. And it's easy, as we move through our lives and through the world, to feel like we are lost in a dark space. And we're trying to make sense of it and feel our way through it without getting too hurt along the way. And it is in this darkness of our lived experience that Jesus introduces himself to us in this passage. He says this is in John chapter 9. This is, as he, Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" I put my phone in do not disturb. That's not in the text. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he did something very, very weird. Because you got to think, like, Jesus is God. This is how he is presented to us in the Bible. It has all the sort of powers of being God. And so he could just say, "See." And he does that at other times. He says, "See," or "take up your bed and walk." In this situation, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva. It's a good thing that this guy couldn't see him, what he was doing. He's just like, "Can we do this another way?" He made mud with his saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now, there's another passage in John 8 where Jesus says he's the light of the world as well. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's in the darkness of our lives that Jesus comes and he says, "I'm the light of the world," that he lights up a dark place. And part of what he means by that is that he can enable us to see things just by his presence, just by his showing up, just by his existence in our lives. He can enable us to see things that we could not see before. That, like, if we were in a room that was dark and then suddenly the lights came on and we were able to see things around us, Jesus enables us to see what we could not see before. And this runs counter to how I, like, automatically think about God. When I think about God, I think he's hidden, he's mysterious, he's shadowy, he's somewhere, and I need to find my way to him with my light and shine my light on him to discover him. But what Jesus is saying is actually the reverse, that he is light and that we are in darkness, that he is not hidden, but we are. And Jesus, the light of the world, shows us things that we could not see without him. I love how he does that in this passage, because they come across this man who is a grown-up who has never seen. He was born without sight. And they ask him a question that shows how dark their world is. They're trying to make sense of a dark world. They're trying to make sense of a question that we're all trying to make sense of, which is, why do bad things happen to some people and not to others? Why does it seem that bad things often happen to very good people and great things happen to people that are despicable? And so as they're trying to make sense of that really big, difficult question, they go to like a pretty easy religious answer. They're like, somebody messed up, and that's why this person is blind. They said, was it him or was it his parents? Now, they did note that he was always blind. So it was like day one, he came out and he did the thing that gets you blind. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? But Jesus shows them the thing that they can't see, that they're maybe refusing to see, that's hidden to them, which is, it doesn't have anything to do with what this man's done or what his parents have done. What he's showing them is that God is actually real, and God is actually doing something that nobody can see. He tells us, and this is not the reason why, you know, hard things happen to all people, but this is the reason why this happened to this man. Jesus says really clearly, this man or his parents didn't sin. This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. The reason, he gives it very explicit reason, the reason why this man was born without sight was for this very moment where Jesus will, God himself will lay his hands, will spit saliva and lay his hands on this person to restore him to sight. This is a person that sight was a theory to. Like, it's not someone that could see and then lost their vision and then it's being restored to them. This is someone that has no concept for what it even means to see something. And Jesus gives him sight. He brings light to a dark place. Part of what Jesus shows us as he shines light in the world is that the bare facts of reality are not all that there is. That in fact, God is often doing things that we can't see, that we have no idea that he's doing. This man was born and struggled, was a person of dependence on the people around him. And the reason why was so that Jesus could heal him and show God's power. And we are literally still talking about this person right now. Because part of what Jesus is helping his disciples to see, and I think part of what he's helping us to see, is that we can often have everything that we want and things can go exactly the way that we want them to. And we can walk in darkness. And often the way in which we see God and experience God is through being in a place of dependence. There was two things that happened during the announcements that I thought were really interesting. One is there was a picture of Tori with an ash cross on her head, which was a great photo, by the way. Was that from last Ash Wednesday? On Ash Wednesday at the beginning of Lent, often Christians come and they receive ashes on their head. And it's a sign to remind us that from dust we came and to dust that we will return, that we're all going to die. It's not a theory. It's going to happen. And it's a reminder of our dependence on God. Also, Max announced that he's doing a fast. And it's really confusing. It's like, oh, we're fasting in RUF. Why do people fast? Well, often when we have enough to eat, we choose to go without so that we can learn in our bodies to be dependent on God. We can learn what it's like to be hungry so that we learn to hunger and thirst for God. Part of what Jesus is showing is that God's working in this person's life. And actually, this person was in a better place to receive this gift from God than someone that didn't need him to restore their vision. Now, this is difficult for this room, and I get that. Because pretty much everything that's going on in your life is carefully controlled to avoid having to depend on God. Like, it's like, I don't want the wheels to fall off and everything to collapse and then have to find God at the bottom. I want to have everything I ever wanted and Jesus too. And that would be great. And Jesus invites us to something different. My lovely wife, Sarah Jane, who, by the way, works for RUF, so I didn't say this last week, but me and Slayton and Sarah Jane's not here right now, she's backpacking. But we are here for you. So what that means is that Slayton and Sarah Jane and myself would love to meet with you. I don't have another job and just come here on Tuesday to talk at RUF. Being a pastor in your life is my job. And it's Slayton's job and Sarah Jane's job as well. So we'd love to meet with you. But Sarah Jane, a few years ago, got LASIK surgery because she had pretty bad vision. And I love the story she tells. When she was in third grade, she realized that she was not seeing the board as well as she might expect. And so they took her in for an eye exam and found, like, oh, wow, she can't see anything at all. And she says, she tells this story to our kids sometimes about the first time she got glasses. And they went and picked them up and she put them on. And then they were driving home. Her dad was driving her home from the eye doctor. And she said, Dad, did you know that between all those poles on the side of the road, that there are wires going between all of them? What is that? When did they add that? That she had been looking all the time and there was something that still she could not see. C.S. Lewis, who is a philosopher and scholar, he put it like this. He said, I believe in Christ as I believe the sun has risen. Not because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. I believe in Christ like I believe in that the sun has risen, not because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. What Jesus does when he shines his light into our world and into our lives is he helps us to see things that we couldn't see before. Mainly, that God is doing something. That he's doing something in you. That there are things happening right now in your life and in your family, in your soul, in your relationships, that God is intending, that you have no idea about. And yet he's truly doing it. Jesus enables us to see that there is potential for redemption in everything. Everything. When Jesus shines into our life, he helps us to see often that what we do that's good comes from a really shady place. Sometimes when you're in the brightest light, it's the darkest shadows. But also, when Jesus shines, he shows that even at our worst, like the thing that you're really worried, like I was talking to Emma yesterday, and she was saying that her counseling professor made them do disaster bingo. Like, come up with 16 things that would totally wreck your year at Wake Forest. And then if anyone gets bingo, he will take them out to dinner. Okay? Part of it is it's hard. She said it's hard to come up with 16 things. I was like, I already have 16 things. I've been walking in the light for a long time, and I got to be honest, I have never felt so much darkness in myself or seen so much darkness in the world. But the thing is, the thing that we imagine that would derail everything, what Jesus shows us is that if it's true that he's the light of the world and that God is doing something, that means that even if that thing happens, that God can also still be intending something beautiful and redemptive from that. Actually, the higher the risk, the higher the failure, the greater potential for redemption. Because when God redeems something, he puts his value on it and not the value that we can put on it. We don't always see clearly when we walk with Jesus. I know that is certainly true for myself. But we see more we get a glimpse of more, that God is always up to something, and that God is up to something in you. When Jesus came into the world, he fulfilled a prophecy that said that people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. That people that lived in a land of deep darkness, on them has a light shone. And his coming into the world was the fulfillment of that prophecy. But you know, the thing is, if you read the story of Jesus and understand his life, the world didn't want that light. There's a passage here from John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. This is about Jesus. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing that was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Actually, I was going for the other passage. Whoops. But Jesus says here, light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. When Jesus came into the world and shone that light that exposes everything, the world attempted to snuff that light out. When Jesus actually went to the cross, which even if you don't know much about Jesus, you know he died on a cross. The scripture actually tells us that when he was on the cross, that the land was covered with darkness, that the sun basically went out and it became dark in the middle of the day. That Jesus was actually entering darkness, was being put out, like you turn off the light switch or you put something over a candle. And actually, Jesus was laid in a tomb that was completely dark. He was in the darkness of death. And yet, as the other passage said, that the light, the darkness has not overcome that light. Jesus rose from the dead, his light shone. And here's what this means for you and why this matters. It means that there is a light from God that can never go out, that can never be put out. There's actually nothing that you can do to extinguish the light of Jesus that would bring clarity to your life. I know that it's, even though it's dark, it's a lot more easy to walk home at 2 a.m. from a party, even though you can't see where you're going, than it is to walk home at 2 p.m. after a party. And the reason why it's a lot easier to walk home at 2 a.m. is because there's a lot less chance of exposure at 2 a.m., that someone's going to see you in the state that you are in. And that's what we're afraid of. The reason why it is good news for you, it's funny, like when you talk about the Bible and you're supposed to be in the space that I'm in, like I really do think that this is the best thing that any of us could ever hear. And that's, if Jesus shines in your life, you never have to be afraid of being found out. When Jesus shines in our life and we walk in his light, it doesn't mean that like we're changed and we stop doing good things from shady motives and stop doing shady things on the side. It just means that we can move through our life without fear. Like suddenly the light comes on in the room and you can see where everything is and you don't have to slam into it and you don't have to be insecure to move through the world. You don't have to be worried that if you mess up, everything will fall apart. Because you can't put his light out. Now it's hard for us, as that last passage says, the third one. There it is. Thank you. I gave you too many slides, Lexi. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And let me just tell you, God knows literally every single thing about you. He can see in the dark. He doesn't just know everything you've ever done. He knows everything you've ever thought about. And this God who dwells in unapproachable light is approaching you to shine the light of love into your life. And you don't have to be afraid of him because he sees you and is not repulsed. He sees you and is not anxious that you're not going to do it right. He sees you and embraces you now. And when we see everything in the room in his love, we see that it's very messy. But we don't have to be afraid of it. I'm going to pray and ask God to help us with that. Lord Jesus, I don't even really know what it means for you to be the light of the world. But I do know, and I know that my sisters and brothers in this room know what it feels like to be in the dark and to feel lost. And to feel like if we take a wrong step, we're going to end up in the wrong place and we're going to ruin everything. And Lord, we don't want to feel that way. We don't want to experience that. We want to be able to move in love around this world, to enjoy you and to love others. And Lord, we can't create this light within ourselves. We need you to give it to us. And so, Lord, in this moment, I pray that you would meet with us. Lord, even as we sit here and we sit on the floor, would you show us something that we can't see? Would you show us the light that can never be put out? And help us by your grace to walk in it. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing one more song.